With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
When we are saved, we are projects. Projects under construction by the grace of God. We are saved by Christ's grace. He is sovereign, supreme, and sufficient. The preeminence of Christ in the book of Colossians, His sovereignty, His supremacy, and His sufficiency. And He saves us by His grace. And then we are projects that He begins to develop our potential in order that we will be an impact.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry Reeder brings us part one of the message, Christ to the World, as we continue our study of Colossians. Baseball teams send out scouts in order to discover, evaluate, and sign players. Some are projects who show raw ability but still need a lot of growth and improvement. Others have more potential and need a few years in the minor leagues before they can be promoted to the majors. And then there are the highly sought-after impact players, those who show so much ability and composure that they can join the big leagues quickly and help make a winning team. We find parallels to this in the Christian life as we study the book of Colossians. New believers are projects who still have a long way to go to spiritual maturity. As we grow in Christ, we exhibit more and more potential to faithfully serve the Lord. But God's ultimate goal is for every one of His people to develop into impact players who can make a difference in reaching our world for Jesus Christ. Harry, today's scripture touches on three vital subjects for the Christian: prayer, using our time wisely, and our communication. Can you give us some practical ideas to help us improve in these important areas of our lives?
Yes, listen closely to these two programs. There's my practical suggestion, because we're going to go into some things that I think are pretty exciting in terms of the effective Christian life. What does it mean to be effective? Well, you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. And when you ask wrongly to consume it upon your lust. In other words, every Christian prays, but do we pray biblically? Mm. Do we pray effectively? In fact, by the way, unbelievers pray. Everybody prays. We're born to pray. So we're going to pray. And Jesus doesn't say if you pray. He says when you pray, pray this way. So we have to be taught how to pray. The disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us the necessity of prayer. They said, teach us how to pray. Mm-hmm. And so we need to learn how to pray biblically and effectively. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And secondly, of course, is our time. Mm-hmm. Here's the one resource that we all have, and every day we all have the same amount, but it's the one resource we have that's non-renewable. Spend $10, you get that back. Spend a day, it's gone. How do you spend your time? We're not going to talk about time management. We're going to talk about how to spend your time. Time manages itself very well. What we need to do is know how to manage ourselves, and then how do we spend the time God gives to us? And then finally, we're going to take a good look at what does it mean to communicate? Effective communication. How do you use your words to build people up? How do we speak not to get things off of our chest, but to get things into the hearts of other people? So we'll talk about that as well.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 4. We're focusing on verses 2 through 6. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part one of the message, Christ to the World.
Colossians 4 and verse 2, and we'll be going through verse 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Let's give attention to God's Word. This is the Word of our God, and this is Paul's exhortation to the Colossians and through them to us. Listen what he's saying to you by the Holy Spirit. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. The grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our God abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may this word be preached to you. As many of you know, I've mentioned to you, my father was involved in baseball. And so one of the things I was just kind of thinking about as I came to this text was how in the latter years of his life, he was in management. And he was always involved in, it's kind of on my mind because I was up in Pittsburgh and that's who he was with, was the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they would get together to draft ball players in order to sign them. My dad explained to me, he said, son, we've got three categories of ball players when we think about signing them. And what category you fall in determines how much money we offer you, usually. He says, we have some ball players we call project ball players. These are guys that are project. They look like they got the tools, but they're not ready. Doesn't look like they're going to be ready anytime soon. They're a project. So we may offer a contract to a project player. Then the other kind of player we like to sign is a guy with clear potential, but he needs to be developed. He's not a project. He'll get there, but he's got potential. And then they had another category. These are the guys they'd save the money to try to sign with. Those were the impact players. This is a guy we know if we sign him, he's going to be an impact player. He's going to hit it pretty soon, right away. And when he comes, he'll make a difference. He's an impact player. I got to thinking that what Paul is committed to doing in this text is really doing that to us, isn't it? When we are saved, we are projects. Projects under construction by the grace of God. We are saved by Christ's grace. He is sovereign, supreme, and sufficient. The preeminence of Christ in the book of Colossians, his sovereignty, his supremacy, and his sufficiency. And he saves us by his grace, and then we are projects that he begins to develop our potential in order, and this is what Paul is ending up with, in order that we will be an impact. And we'll impact a number of areas in life. And that's what he's done in Colossians 3. He says, look, when Christ, the supreme, sovereign, and sufficient Savior, the preeminent Christ saved you, you're in Christ. You've died with Christ, you've risen with Christ, you've ascended with Christ, and when he appears, you'll appear with Christ. Therefore, because of this position, I now want you to gain a different perspective. I want your perspective not to be the things upon earth, but the things in heaven. Don't be earthly minded, be heavenly minded. Set your mind and your heart on what counts for eternity. And with that position in Christ, and Christ in you, with that perspective, you will begin to make an impact. He says the first place we'll see the impact is in your personal life. You'll put off the old man and put on the new man. Then we'll see the impact in the church. What happens when impact players for Christ come into a church? They forgive one another. They bear with one another. They love one another. They pray with one another. They give thanks together. They sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs together. They worship together. They come together in the harmony and unity, not that they're all alike, but they're all in Christ, and Christ is all in them. In fact, Christ is all and in all. And then that impact in your personal life that overflows into your church life will also be seen when you leave the doors, and the first place you'll see it is at home. We'll have husbands who love their wives sacrificially and wives who submit to and respect their husbands and come alongside of them. We will have children who are honoring and respecting and obeying their parents. Well, that's a different thought, isn't it? In our society today, we kind of turned it around. Our parents need so much to get the approval of their children, our parents are obeying their children. But no, the whole idea is that fathers are giving direction to their children. Fathers are raising their children as a team with the wife, and the father and the mother have the teaching of kindness, yet firmness and direction, raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then the children are expected to respond. That's an impact in your personal life, an impact in the church, an impact in the family. And then he says, let me tell you, it won't stop there. It'll be an impact in the workplace. Employers will give just wage, just expectation, and just working dynamics for those who are employed by them, because they answer to the Lord for those who answer to them. And employees will give work not as an act of making money, but as an act of worship. They will do their work as a worship statement, as unto the Lord. But he doesn't stop here. Not only will God's people make an impact, not only will God's people make an impact in their personal life, in their church life, in their family life, in the workplace, but they will make an impact in the world, taking Christ to the world. And that's where he brings us to in these few verses. Y'all remember Iran's been in the news recently about nuclear development. You know, not long ago, they had a big earthquake there in Iran. And many Christian organizations rightfully and appropriately sent help. PCA was one of them. We sent some impact players. We sent some impact players over there, and it was amazing what happened. Did you know we have already sent and have been invited back, and we have 20 to 30 of our pastors that are going to Iran. Some have already been to meet with the evangelicals that are there and other government officials. And the reason we have the open door for the pastors to go there is because of what that disaster response team did. That disaster response team came into a very difficult situation. Within a couple of weeks, every organization had been asked to leave except ours. Every organization, Christian and secular, that had come from this country had been asked to leave except ours. We were asked to stay. Our doctors and nurses and caregivers had the longest lines. Even when other places the lines were gone, they still stood in line to come into our section where we were working. I asked the missionary, why was that true? Why such an impact that they stood in line? They wanted to come there. They said, when others had told others to get out, for maybe bad reasons, I don't know what reasons, but they told them to stay. Why was it? He said, Harry, there were three reasons why. And then he shared them with me. And I'm going to share them with you at the end of the sermon. I'll share them with you at the end of the sermon. Would you take a look, though, right now at this text? Because I think they'll be more meaningful at the end than right now. Would you take a look at the text with me just for a moment? In this text, it was an interesting passage of Scripture. In this text, we find two calls of the Christian to the world, bringing Christ to the world through us. The first call you find in verse 2. Find the first call is a call to consistent contact. Continue steadfastly. Continue steadfastly. And he says, effective Christians, impact players for Christ. Impact Christians. Those who have been projects of grace, have the potential of grace is being developed. Now they are impact players for Christ. He says, I want you to have consistent conduct. Now, he doesn't exhaustively lay out our conduct for us, but he does pick out three things if we are to bring Christ to the world with an impact. If we are to bring Christ to the world with an impact, what are the three things he says, I want you to know? Here's the first thing is your prayer life. The first thing is your prayer life. Now, by the way, every single one of us, we say, now, what's the most important thing a Christian can do? We would all dutifully say what? Pray. And then we would go out and dutifully forget to, or don't do, or say something like this. Well, there's nothing else I can do for you. The least I can do is pray. And in that, our operational faith gives away our true faith. See, we all have a confessional faith. We know the right things to say. But our operational faith is what tells you what we really believe. It's the first thing he says to do is pray. He says, I want you to have a prayer life. And he says three things about your prayer life. Here are the three things that he says about your prayer life. Every Christian, to develop a prayer life, first thing you want to do is develop a persistent prayer life. A persevering prayer life. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. I like the way it says it in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says this, the second shortest verse in the Bible. Pray without ceasing. Unceasing prayer. In other words, not only is prayer an event in the calendar of your day and an event in the calendar of a church, you have a prayer meeting, a prayer time, my quiet time, but prayer is not only an event, prayer is to be a way of life. Pray without ceasing, pray regularly, pray steadfastly. In other words, keep your relationship with the Lord that you can just step right in and out of the Holy of Holies and be welcome because you are constantly needing to talk to Him. The second thing he says about your prayer life, it's to be vigilant. Have you ever met somebody named Gregory? You ever met somebody named Gregory? Next time you see a Gregory, shake hands and say, hello, vigilant. Gregory comes from the Greek word gregario. Gregario is the word that's here. It means to be vigilant. It means to be watchful. It means to be alert. It's the word that would be used to describe someone up on a tower to keep watch over the city. It's the word that would be used to describe the man up in the mast who is in the crow's nest keeping an eye on everything that's out there. You are to be vigilant. You are to be alert. You are to be looking. You are to be ever sensitive. What are you sensitive to in your prayer life? Here's what you're sensitive to. Three things. You're sensitive to issues, opportunities, and people. You're sensitive to issues. What are the issues? What are the opportunities? What about people? And you're steadfastly in prayer. Now that feeds the content of your prayer. What are you praying about? The things that you're picking up. So you're to be sensitive in prayer, he says. You're to be alert in your prayer life. And you, as you are steadfastly praying, regularly praying, prayer is a way of life, not just an event of life. Always keep watchful. And by the way, he adds something to the watchfulness. When you're being watchful, getting the content of what you're going to pray about, hey, what should you do? Always be thankful. Always be thankful. 10 times in 4 chapters, he tells us to be thankful. 10 times in 4 chapters, gratitude is the mark of the life of a person who has been saved by grace and knows that they are saved by grace. Now, what's the third mark of prayer? Steadfast prayer, alert, vigilant, sensitive prayer to the issues, needs, people. The third thing is intercessory prayer. He says, pray for us. Pray with intercession. Isn't that what the Lord's Prayer teaches us? Isn't it interesting when we do the Lord's Prayer on Sunday? Have you ever just stopped and thought about it? When you're praying, what do you pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive others their debts to us. You notice the plural? You're not just my Father, my groceries, my sins, but you're concerned. He's teaching us to be concerned in a corporate sense of intercession. Now, the Apostle Paul, while he's telling us to pray with intercession, he then gives some specific things about intercession that Christians ought to be aware of. He says, I want you to pray with steadfastness. I want you to pray with sensitivity and alertness. I want you to pray. I want you to pray with intercession. And then he gives three things he wants you to pray with intercession about. He says, first of all, pray for us. Who are the us? Those who are ministers of the word. You remember, faith comes by what? Hearing the word of Christ. So if Satan wants to stop the spread of Christianity and the development of Christians into impact players for Christ, what is the best way to do it? Stop the preaching. Stop the preaching. How do you do it? Stop those who are called. So he says, pray for us. And I stop here. I know I get the letters, the emails, the comments. I cannot tell you how grateful I am, and I know our elders and deacons are. Many of you have taken that little challenge from Archie Parish, and you've just kept carrying it on, you and your family, once, twice, three times a day when you sit down to eat. Pray for the preaching of the word, the spiritual food as well. I think that is so crucial, and I can't tell you how important that is and how grateful I am. But stay with it. No, if you're visiting with us today, what should you do? As God would raise up preachers of the word in general and your pastor in particular, you pray for that team of preachers and teachers in your church. Just as Paul says, pray for us. Pray for the ministers of the word in intercession. The second thing he says to pray for is an unfettered opportunity to preach the word. Pray for the doors to open up for the word. Open doors for the word of God. Pray that it will go forward with open doors. You know, stop and think about this just a minute. Doesn't it strike you interesting? Here is a man who is in prison, and he doesn't pray for an open prison door. He prays for an open preaching door. Now, what would you and I do? And let me say me. What, let me just stop. Forget you. What would I do? I'm in prison for preaching. I don't think I would probably think of, would you pray for an open door for me to preach some more? I'd probably say, Lord, I'll be willing to preach if you'll open the door of this prison. He never even says it. He never even says, pray for this open door of the prison. He says, pray for a preaching door to open. That's what he wants to open up. You know what I think he's thinking about? I think he's thinking about the promise that was given to the disciples when Jesus said to what to them? He says, listen, let me tell you something. When I leave, they're going to deliver you up to synagogues, kings, and authority. But don't worry. That's just an opportunity to preach, because when they deliver you up, I will give you what to say and how to say it in that very moment. See, we would look at that as, in today's versions of Christianity, oh no, you got put in prison, or you got put in a hospital, or you got put here, you got put there. You must not be claiming all of God's blessings for you. Oh no. Paul didn't see being in prison as God's discipline of him. He saw it as God opening up another door. He said, so while the prison doors are shut, how about getting the door open? He's thinking of prisoners. He's thinking of the judges he's going to talk to. Pray for an open door for the ministry of the word of God. Then the third thing he says to pray for is not only to pray, he says, pray that when the door opens, I'll make it clear. I'll make it clear. Now, it's right here that I stop and begin to think of this precious privilege I have periodically. I'm so grateful every time I get to preach at an African-American congregation, because they preach back to you. They don't sit there like y'all are doing. They preach back to you. I mean, see, here's the way we do it. Here's a Presbyterian amen. Now, you know, revival's about to break out if somebody sitting there goes, Well, see, they know how to preach you. They preach the preacher, is what they call it. And you love it. Amen. Hallelujah. Preach it, brother. Of course, you always get a little concerned if one of them stands up and says, help him, Lord. Help him. You know you miss it. One of the favorite ones I love to hear in an African-American church is when they say this. This is happening. You know, you'll be kind of trying to get through. You got to think, I got to get finished and everything. One of them will stand up and say, hold it now. Stop. Make it clear. Make it clear. It comes right here from this text. Make it clear. Would you pray that when I preach the mystery of Christ, see, you wouldn't know the gospel without the word of God and the preaching of God. You can know about God by looking at creation. You can't know about the gospel without the mystery falling away through the word of God and preaching. So he says, when I get the open door, pray for us, pray for the open door, and when it comes, pray we can make it clear, brother. Make it clear. So they can see it. In other words, he's saying, pray that we'll not only get open doors, pray I'll get a sermon that's an eye-opener as well. Eye-openers. That people's eyes will be open. So, our consistent conduct, consistent prayer life. What's the second thing? He says this, make wise use of your time with unbelievers, seekers, outsiders, those who don't know Christ yet. See the next verse? Make wise use of your time with unbelievers that are outsiders. Know how to use that moment, that wise use of life's moments, thoughtful behavior. You say, Harry, how is it that I can have thoughtful behavior, and what is it that will attract unbelievers to Christ? Can I tell you what it is that will attract unbelievers to Christ? Love. That's it. That's the key. Here's what Jesus says. They will marvel at how you love one another. The world will know you're my disciples by how you love one another. And when you love your enemies. And when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, see, you love the Lord and Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind. What will that lead to? Holiness of life, a distinct life that will draw people. And when you love people, they will be drawn. And when you love the lost, when you love one another, when we love our enemies, that's what draws people. Recently here, we have a person that we've had an opportunity to minister to. Six ladies in this congregation have ministered to a lady who is facing terminal illness. Last time she went in the hospital, she put Briarwood as her home church. Not even had the opportunity to be here after she had prayed to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior. What was it? Wasn't it a great program? How do you make the most of your opportunity with people outside? You love them. When you love God, that'll draw them. When you love one another, they'll stand and notice. When you love your enemies, they'll say, how can they do that? And when you love them, they will want to know more.
The Lord does not want His people to remain as immature projects who never cultivate and realize our spiritual potential. He wants every one of us to develop into impact players who can make a significant difference in reaching our world for Jesus Christ. Join us again next time as we continue with our series, Christ is All and in All, Colossians in Biblical Perspective. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Christ to the World, or simply ask for message number 9376. Again, that's message number 9376. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or email us inperspective@briarwood.org. Do you know what the Bible has to say concerning the contemporary issues of our day? Do you know how to discuss issues such as Islam, sexuality, war, stem cell research with a Christian world and life perspective? Harry Reader's 14-message series entitled Contemporary Issues delves into these topics and other issues like abortion, capitalism, and euthanasia. Harry takes you to biblical passages that gives clarity and understanding so that you too will be able to discuss and understand the biblical perspective of these issues that dominate our headlines. If we are to be change agents for Christ in this world, it would be wise for us to know how to articulate the hot-button issues of our day. The entire 14-message series entitled Contemporary Issues is yours for $35. Order online by visiting briarwood.org/contemporary. That's briarwood.org/contemporary. There are a number of ways you can stay in touch with Harry Reader and In Perspective. The best way is by downloading the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. This app contains audio, video, and written resources that will encourage your growth in Christ. It's yours free of charge. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.